Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Chun Daf Tzadi Gemel Chun 93. In today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara discusses the law of a butcher, or the case of a butcher who wasn't careful. He was supposed to remove the forbidden fats. He was supposed to do Nikur Hachelev, but he didn't do it. So our Gemara says, Tabach, if we have a case of a butcher who didn't take out the forbidden fats properly, Venimtza Chelev Achrav, and as a result of this, we find Chelev on the meat that he's selling. We find it's forbidden meat for him to eat, and he's selling it. So Rabbi Yehuda says, under these circumstances, that if you found the amount of chelev that is bekisaora, that is the size of a barley corn, then we punish him. We are going to punish such a person. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, only if we find the amount of bekezias, only if we find the forbidden fat that it is the size of an olive. Not if it's a size of a barley corn, but it has to be the size of an olive in order to punish him. So Rav Papa says that really Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan are not arguing. They're not in dispute. Kanla halkoso, that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you need an olive size, that's to give him lashes. And so therefore, only if you find the size of an olive size do we give him lashes. And the comment, and whereas Rav Yehuda is talking about la'abro, that is to remove him from his job and say you're no longer allowed to sell the meat. In those days, there wasn't like a hashkacha, like OU or Star K or DC Kosher. It was just that the butcher was believed, but the rabbis had the authority, the bet didn't have the authority to remove the person from his status. And so therefore we're saying that if it was even just the size of a barley corn, that wouldn't be enough to give him lashes, but it would be enough to remove him from his status. The Rambam says in Hilchos Macholos Asuras that this is the type of lashes we give him is not biblical lashes, but what's called Makos Mardus. These are the lashes for rebelling, because this is just rabbinic lashes, because the rabbis had the authority to punish somebody who was acting improperly, even though there wasn't a direct biblical violation, because biblically speaking, certainly there's no lashes for selling meat which has forbidden fats still attached to it. So this is just the idea that we know that you're up to no good because you're selling something and the people are assuming that it's kosher, but it really wasn't kosher. And so therefore the Rambam says that this is what's called Makos Mardus, that this is the lashes of somebody who's rebelling. And so therefore the Betin has the right to give that person lashes. So the Gemara suggests, the Gemara then discusses, that Marzutra says that kisaora b'makom echad, that when we say that we remove him, if it's the size of a barley corn, that is if it was all in one spot. But if we find enough chelev on it, that if we combine from different places on the animal, it reaches a barley corn, that wouldn't be enough to remove him. And the kezias, but when we say that we give you lashes if he's selling the chelev that is the size of an olive, that is that is even if we combine in two or three places on the animal, that's enough for us to give this butcher lashes. But the Gemara concludes, that to give him lashes, that is an olive-sized portion in one spot. That's what we need in order to give him lashes. Not like Marzutra says in two or three places, Ua Avro, and also to remove him from his position, that is only Bikasaora. That's only if, like, here we do say the position like Marzutra, that it's only if it's in one spot, the barley corn. So we see from here that we remove the butcher if he is selling a barley corn of Chelev attached to the meat without telling people that it was removed, and we actually give him the lashes if he has an olive-sized portion. So this is what takes us to remove the butcher from his spot, or to punish the butcher. But what about returning him to his position? So the Goz Asheri cites the Ravya. The Ravya is the German medieval commentary in the 12th century, and the Ravi writes that if you find this kezias even in two or three places, we give him lashes, and we remove him immediately from his status until he accepts upon himself din shamayim, accepts upon himself the laws from heaven, until he fixes his ways through the direction of a Torah scholar. And it seems that the Ravi is requiring that you're supposed to make a declaration in the synagogue about this butcher every Tuesday, every Monday and Thursday, and then the following Monday. And you're supposed to say that this butcher has been removed from his status because he's selling this non-kosher Pele, this non-kosher fat, the size of a barley. And then the Ravya says that for 1 month, he should not engage in his profession. You suspend him for a month. And after 1 month, he's supposed to come before the Torah scholar of his city or the closest Torah scholar and say, I did such and such a thing. And this is the sin that I made. And the rabbis of that generation have to decide whether or not the person is worthy to be reinstated. And afterwards, they're supposed to make a declaration in the synagogue, such and such a butcher who we removed because we found the forbidden fat in his meat that he was selling, he has regretted it, and he accepted our direction, and therefore we're allowed to reinstate him. So they say specifically a path to coming back. From that point on, after that 1 month of exile, of being suspended, if he really does return to his service and he returns to his ways, we allow him to be returned to his status, and we could trust him like the first time. But before he has been proclaimed in this manner by the rabbis, then we are unable to put him back. It means to say he has to go through this process, but this process is really only a month long, and after that, if the rabbis of that time feel like he is able to return, that's okay. But that's where a person is just does it one time, and if this is a person has a presumption that if they've done it more than once, then he's in much bigger trouble, and the Ravya is saying we cannot rely upon him at all. But we see from here, first of all, that the rabbis make a path to return even if you're selling forbidden fats, and also there was no formal kashrut supervision like we're seeing in America and in Israel today, which has become a very big business and very big certification, but there it was basically relying upon the butcher in the town, and if that person was somebody who was trustworthy, then we can eat their food even without a ongoing rabbinic supervision.